This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
I did it again, niggas. It's fucked up, right? I know what y'all niggas asking yourself. Is he gonna ever fall off? No. A lot of speculation on the monies I've made. Honeys I've slayed. How is he for real? Is that nigga really paid? Hustlers I've met or dealt with direct.
Is it true he stayed a beef and slept with a tech? What's the position you hold? Now, I'm not gonna do the whole thing. I'm just fucking with you. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you, first and foremost, for allowing me to take a two-week break to get well. And if you are returning, you're new here, then welcome. But I thank you for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me, listen to my random ramblings and stories or whatever. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Elephant in the room. Let's do the Chef Elise report real quick.
Out of Pepe.
Our show is. I guess we all know this, but these elementary schools and these daycares is just like petri dishes. And 2-3 weeks ago, I guess at this point, 2 weeks ago, I picked my daughter up from school. We have a good Friday. She had a great report card. So I told her like, hey, you know, you had a dope report card. We can do whatever it is you want to do today. And the first thing, my daughter has no idea what a report card is. And like, that should have made sense to me. Like, you know, you just forget at a certain point that everything is new to these little people. Like, you know, stuff that you just understand, like is brand new to them. And so her first question was like, what is a report card? And then now I feel like I'm fucking up because obviously she's not performing for rewards. She doesn't even know that she's being graded. She's performing just because she likes school and she likes to learn. She's, you know, and so she's doing well. And maybe I shouldn't have made her aware that there's a grading system and you get grades. And then when you get good grades, people are happy. And when people are happy, they do things for you. I could be fucking the whole thing up, but whatever. Genie was out the bottle at that point. So yeah, I tell her, you know, we can go wherever you want to go because you had a dope report card. And so she wanted to do, you know, boba tea because she's just super into everything Asian right now. So we went and had tea. We ate. We came home. We watched a movie. We had a good, like, Friday night. And everything was cool. And then we wake up Saturday. She's got a soccer game. She gets up on time. I got no issues getting her out to bed, getting her dressed. We get ready. You know, we're out the house early so I can be there, you know, early. And then we get all the way to the game. I got to drive like a half an hour to get, you know, to the soccer field. And we get all the way there. And like as we're pulling in to the soccer field, she throws up. And then that was just the start of just chaos for the next, you know, 2 weeks. And she came home, she had a fever and everything, and I decided to keep her since, you know, my ex-wife is pregnant right now. I decided to keep her until at least her fever went away, which that was my goal. She eventually went home. Her fever was gone by the time she went home, but really the reason she was going home was because now I was sick. And I found out she had the flu, so I'm guessing that's what I had. And I don't know if I've never had the flu before or if I just haven't had it in so long that I forgot, but this was like the worst shit I ever been through in my life. I don't know. That's an exaggeration. I'm sure it wasn't the worst. It is pretty high up there. And there were moments where, like, I don't know. I legit was concerned. Like, I don't go to the doctor. I don't want to hear your shit about that. I'm not a doctor person. I don't like going to the doctor. And so, you know, I was just sitting here, like, suffering through it, taking, you know, my over-the-counter medications and stuff like that. And, you know, I haven't been diagnosed. I didn't know what it was, you know, and everything is going around right now. RSV, the flu, COVID is still a thing. And, you know, and it was just like I had never been this congested in my life. And it was getting to a point where I wasn't sure if I was having difficulty breathing. And I started, like, I don't know. I just started self-diagnosing and, like, going through the things in my head. And there were some moments where I wasn't sure I was going to make it. I wasn't sure. Like, I just feel like in the middle of the night, like, it's going to get to a point where I can't breathe and it's going to be too late. And, like, I'll just be the fuck out of here. Like, that's just what's going to happen. And when you have those moments, you start, like, thinking back on your life and regrets and all kinds of shit like that. Like, I legitimately, like, the original idea for this episode was going to be, like, confessions. Like, I was going to confess shit. Like, you know, it was like I was having this quote-unquote really exaggerated near-death experience. And it was like, let me just say all the stuff that I haven't said, that I should have said, you know, all these years ago. Let me confess some shit. And that was really the idea about this episode, like, right up until, like, right now. Like, it's just now that I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I was going to include that with whatever else I'm getting ready to do. And right up until right now, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I was going to tell y'all, like, who my secret crush is. And just going to admit my feelings about that. But nah, I'm not. Yeah. Say that for another day, if ever. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck it. But, you know, I don't know. By the grace of God, I recovered. I'm back doing episodes again. Thank you to everybody who, you know, wished me good health, and, you know, when they found out that I was sick and supported me. Thank you to anyone who set out the 2 weeks. Because that's the big fear in this podcasting game, is that, like, you don't stay consistent, you don't stay current, and you have to dip out for a reason. People don't come back. Like, people who we're listening to you on a weekly basis is like, ah, fuck it, they move on to other shows. So if you didn't do that, appreciate you. Love you for it. But yeah, God willing, I'm better. I'm feeling good.
And I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good may be an exaggeration. Like, I don't know if you can hear it, but there's still some, you know, there's still some congestion in there. I sound way better than I did like a week ago. I was not going to put y'all through that. That was disgusting. But I'm damn near there. So one of the things that I did, you know, reflect on during my near-death experience is just, you know, the moments in my life. A lot of times when I do these, like, looking back on, you know, things that happened in my life, it's usually, like, negative shit. And, you know, like I said, regrets. And I'm saying, I've done episodes about the Biafra boy thing and, like, you know, stuff my mom used to say. And I did the whole episode about, like, peaking in middle school. And that was kind of not necessarily positive. I don't know. But I figured this week, if I'm going to do a story, because I thought back on, like, you know, my life and shit that I've accomplished. And I thought about, like, what's my coolest moment? And because there was a point in life where I think I might have been cool. Like, it's past. It's past. It was a long time ago. But there was a point where I might have been, like fucking cool. And I thought, like, what was my coolest moment? And there's a particular moment that came to mind that happened in high school. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. I'm going to tell the story. I know there may be some people who, like, see the cover art for this episode and, like, panic because they don't know what story I'm going to tell. You can chill. I'm not going to fuck your shit up. Nothing like that. I'm not going to reveal that. And we was in high school, so who cares? But I'm not. This is pretty tame, you know. Pretty tame, but it's a moment that I think back on fondly, and I think it was, like, one of my coolest, like, freest moments. But anyway, so J.Dot Flan is the closest thing to a nickname I've ever had. It's really like the evolution of a nickname, but to me it doesn't feel like a nickname because it's pretty much my fucking name. Like, you know, my name is Jared Flanagan, and so, you know, if I'm doing my initials, J.Dot. And then, you know, I'll probably do the Flan thing. But that started in high school. It started in high school. It started specifically in junior ROTC. I did junior ROTC for all 4 years of high school, and it's the highlight of my high school journey. Academically, it was horrible. In every other facet, it was probably horrible. See, I'm making it negative anyway. But junior ROTC was the shit. That was my life. I loved it. And so I started in, like, you know, the ninth grade. So high school was a fucking culture shock for me. Like, this was weird. Like, I've told a story about, like, Officer Friendly and Miss Perry in kindergarten. You know, so I came from a very, like, you know, I'm from the era where you got disciplined in school. Like, you got fucked up. You got hands put on you, and you got hit with, you know, yardsticks taped together and shit like that, and you got taken to closets, and horrible things could happen to you if you acted up, you know, in elementary school. And then I went to middle school, and I had a principal that was just, like, not to be fucked with. I love Miss Jones, you know, rest in paradise, Miss Jones. It hurts that we lost you, but she was awesome, and but she was an imposing presence, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she just used to walk the halls with a yardstick. And she could just call you. And she ain't never call your name. She was like, "Hey, son." And, like, you could be around the corner and hear "Hey, son," and just stop until we could identify who the fuck she was talking to, because you ain't want to be the person that kept moving and she was talking to you. Because, you know, Ms. Jones would put hands on you. She would put hands on you. I used to hang out in the office a lot, and because I was that cool. But I used to hang out in the office a lot, and we used to see her, like, bring kids in and take them back to her office. And we, like, sit outside her office with our ear to the door with, like, the cup or whatever, trying to hear, because you could hear her in there whooping their ass. But that was what my school experience had been for me. So, like, talking back to teachers and shit like that didn't even seem possible. Like, it wasn't even something I thought about doing, but didn't. It was something I just didn't feel like I could ever do. Like, it wasn't on the menu of shit to try. Cause I seen people get fucked up for way less, you know, way lesser offenses. Like, you know, just not turning in work or just talking in class and shit like that. Like, actually, like, talking back to a teacher or disrespecting authority just seemed like, how the fuck does one approach doing that? Like, I didn't get it. And then I went to high school, and I went to high school in, like, Southeast DC, which is, you know, fairly notorious. I went to Ballou, which was one of the, I went to a school within a school. It was in Ballou, but for the sake of this story, we're going to say I went to Ballou. I went to Ballou, which is a, you know, somewhat well-known school in the city, you know, not for all the greatest things back then. I think it's really changed now, but whatever. But I get there, and, like, kids is just straight up, you know, just like, fuck you, and, like, just going back and forth with teachers, and it blew my mind. I didn't know it was possible. I didn't know you could do this. I didn't understand, like, how you even had that much gall and audacity to do these things. Like, because it wasn't even on my radar as a possibility of something I could do, you know. But then this was the world that I was thrust into. So I'm definitely, like, fish out of water. You know, I'm from the suburbs. This is not the suburbs. You know, I've been around a different, you know, kind of student up until that point. And this is not that. And this is weird. But the one place where I felt like I had a chance was, like, junior ROTC. Cause, you know, it's military based. You know, it's Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. You know, for people who don't know what junior ROTC is, it's like the military kids you've seen in your high school with the uniforms on and doing drilling ceremony, that shit. And so, you know, I figured that was all about, like, discipline and following instructions. And these were the things that were my wheelhouse. Like, I didn't know how to be, you know, the bad kid, but I was very good at being the good kid. And this was supposed to be, like, a program that was all that's how I was going to succeed. Like, it didn't even require academics. So whatever. So I was excited to be in junior ROTC, and I was trying to flourish. And so, the big thing in junior ROTC, like, what we do, besides, you know, wearing the uniforms every week and stuff like that, is competitions, drilling ceremony. So, you know, you practice, you know, for these competitions, you practice your drilling ceremony, and then you go and you compete against other schools to do stuff. And you got all kinds of different events. You know, there's squad drill, which is just, you know, like one rank of cadets to drill, and then you got your platoon, which is the larger group. And you got color guard, you got all kinds of stuff. And then you got the exhibition drill, which is like the fancy shit. Like that's pretty much the star of the show. That's what you come there to do. Like that's what people come there to see, pretty much. And you got unarmed exhibition drill and you got armed exhibition drill with the rifles. And so unarmed exhibition, it's pretty much, I guess, as it evolved over the 4 years I was in high school, it's pretty much like stepping, like, you know, but it can be different than that. It can just be, you know, silent cadences. Nobody's calling commands. Everybody's just coordinated like a marching band. They just moving and making turns and forming letters and all that shit. But, you know, but some schools, it really becomes like a step show. They get to stomping and clapping and hand movements and shit like that. And you got that. And that's not necessarily, like, I don't even know how to say this in this day and age, but that's not necessarily for the dudes. Like, you know, when I was in school, it wasn't the dudeish, it wasn't the most masculine thing to be a part of. The masculine thing to be a part of was armed exhibition. And that's with the rifles. And, you know, that's what you see. You see the honor guard, you see the soldier at the tomb of the unknown soldier and all that, you know, to see the guard there. Like, that's the shit. Like, you know, having the rifles, spinning them, you know, precision, all that kind of stuff. That was what all the cool guys did. But I'm not cool. So, I don't know. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do armed exhibition because that was like, you know, I used to watch, what was the movie? A Few Good Men. And in the very beginning of A Few Good Men is a drill team performing armed exhibition drill. And they're doing the spins. And I found out later that's actually a high school drill team. That wasn't like the real military. That was a high school drill team that performed at the beginning of that movie. And I used to tell the kids later on in my junior ROTC career about that movie. I was like, that's what we should emulate when trying to do this kind of stuff. But it's neither here nor there. I wanted to be on the armed exhibition drill team. But I went down there for like the first practice. and they used to have practices. They had something they called the officer box. And this was like a room. You know, they had the armory, which is where it was like the junior ROTC area. And then there was like a couple different rooms. And this one was like in the back. And it had desks and stuff. This is where the cadets that were officers, they were like the leadership, sat. And it is, from what I know, it was a million stories about like the officer box, but it went down in the officer box. Like anything you could think of happening happened back there in the officer box. So just to be in that area was like you was on hallowed ground. Like this is a legendary space. Shit happens. Be prepared for it. So I'm nervous going back there in the first place. Then I get back there and they're practicing spinning the rifles and stuff like that. And here's, you know, I'm going, you know how I do. I go on tangents. So if you are a part of a marching band or I don't know what they call the dancers in the marching band. I don't know what they call them. The word is right there, but I can't say it. But whatever, if you were a part of that and y'all have any sort of activity in your dance where you get to spinning and throwing stuff, stop it with the fucking dummy rifles. Stop it. Like, there's nothing about what you're doing that says rifle or need for rifle or military, anything like that. Stop it. Just throw the batons. Throw the batons. Like, it's nothing. And they're dummy rifles. We know that they're, like, made out of balsa wood. They weigh nothing. Who cares? Stop using them. Like, it's just annoying to me. Just throw a stick. Like, I don't, you know, just throw a stick. Stop throwing these little dummy rifles. It's, I don't know. I feel disrespected every time I see it. Like, put that shit down. Like, what the fuck are you? What do you have a rifle out there for? It's unnecessary. But all right. So I say that to say, because at the school I went to, we were right up the street from an Air Force base that housed the Air Force Honor Guard. And so we didn't, a lot of the schools use dummy rifles because they can't get their hands on rifles. Well, we was right up the street from the Honor Guard, so we would get their old rifles. We would get demilitarized M1s. These were M1 rifles, real rifles, but they had the firing pin removed and the chamber leaded, so they couldn't be fired. There was no possible way of getting them back into shape to fire. It was demilitarized, but these were real weapons, and they weighed about 16 pounds. So that's why when I see you flipping them damn dummy rifles and doing all kinds of shit with it, like it's like it's an accomplishment, like, you know, just a baton. Just get the batons and twirl the batons. Stop playing around with rifles because it's a toy and you're in high school. Fuck out of here. Anyway, see, back there spinning with the rifles, we do all kinds of moves. There's a move called the wrist breaker. And I feel like it's self-explanatory, but I'm sure you have no idea. And I don't even know how to describe it, but I mean, it's called the wrist breaker because you do a little something with your wrist. You're basically spinning the rifle with one hand and you're like popping it off your wrist. And I guess if you did it wrong, you could break your wrist. I don't know. It's 16 pounds. A lot could go wrong, but it's a cool move. And so they was practicing doing the wrist breaker, and the dude is supposed to spin on the side of your body and you catch it with the same hand that you released it with. And he was trying to do it, and instead of it spinning away from him, you know, toward his side where he could reach out and grab it, it spun back in toward the middle of his body and hit him dead in the face. Just bam, bam, just hit him. All right. And they would do these practice moves on a mat to protect the rifles, really, pretty much, because they didn't want, if you dropped the rifle, which was going to happen, they didn't want it hitting the ground and breaking and stuff like that. So you had to do this stuff on a mat. So he tries to wrist break a bat, hits him dead in the face. He falls. I think he's out. And the commander, I remember Fred. I think Fred was like, man, just get him off the mat. And they pretty much picked him up, drug him off to a corner, and like kept going. And I was like, all right, fuck this. I'm not being a part of any of this shit. I'll do the unarmed shit. So that was the beginning of my junior ROTC career. Very unceremonious. Like the only dude that was doing unarmed exhibition drill. But it was like my way to be involved in the competitions and stuff like that. So anyway, so that's what I'm doing. And I'm moving up the ranks. I think I probably hit like staff sergeant or something like that, cadet staff sergeant, which was a fairly decent rank for your first year in junior ROTC. But I'm doing unarmed exhibition, which is just not cool. And so I think the older dudes, I don't know what it was they saw. I don't know if they just saw that here's a kid that's moving up. He wants to be, you know, a part of this. He wants to be something. We can't let him throw his life away on this unarmed exhibition shit. Like, we just can't let him be over there. And I think they was trying to get me to do the armed exhibition drill, but I had a mental block. I was afraid. Like, I seen the dude get knocked out and y'all not give a fuck. And it's like, it's not happening to me. Not ever happening to me. So then fate stepped in. At one point, I'm at a competition and it's time for the arm exhibition drill team to perform. And they short a cadet. And, you know, you got to have a certain amount of cadets to go out there to even take the drill area. They step out on the drill area. And so one of the dudes is just like, hey, Flanagan, come here. This is what we're going to do. You're going to march out there with us when we get out there. And, you know, after we call the first command, you're going to separate. You're going to march over to the edge of the boundary, stay within the boundary. You're going to turn around. You're going to go to parade rest and just stay there the whole time. So we can say we had 12 on the floor, you know, but you're not going to do it. I mean, we know you don't know the routine. You can't do the shit, but you're going out there. And that's what I did. I went out there, stood at parade rest for the entire thing. Fairly embarrassing because there are people just looking at you like, what the fuck is he doing? And you can't, like, look at them, but you can hear the shit. But I'm just standing there. But that made me an official member of the Armed Exhibition Drill Team. I got the cord and everything to put on my uniform, like, just for that, because I performed with the team. I'm now on the team. So that's how I started. So that took me away from like the path I was going down, the only dude on the unarmed exhibition drill team, to now I'm on the drill team with the other dudes. And so I make it through my freshman year, going into my sophomore year. Now I'm a part of the cool group and I'm starting to move up. And for some reason, like my second year, like everybody, all the upperclassmen ahead of us decided, fuck ROTC. And everybody went on to play football or run track or whatever, but everybody dipped. And so I went from like a staff sergeant to like a captain overnight. Like I was maybe the second highest rank before. Like, I think it was, you know, it was a guy ahead of me in, you know, he was like a junior or something like that. But he was also a captain. But because he was a junior, you know, he outranked me a little bit, but we really had the same rank. And so, you know, now the freshman and stuff is looking to me as, you know, the person to lead and stuff like that. And so I went from being, you know, a nobody to a somebody, like, real fast. So here I am, you know, and now I'm on the armed exhibition drill team. I'm learning how to do the stuff. You know, I actually got to a point where I could spin the rifles and I could do the stuff. You know, I was very proud of, you know, what I was doing. I wasn't like, it wasn't the cleanest. It wasn't the most precise. Like, I couldn't spin without, you know, keeping my upper body still. Like, it was a lot of movement. It took a lot of, I had to, you know, to get the rifle up there. But I could do it. I could do all the spins. I could get it in the air. I could catch it. I could drop it down my back. I did doing the wrist breaker. I'm doing all kinds of shit. And, you know, and we cool. So now, you know, it's competition time. And now, you know, now I'm in a leadership position. So when we go to these competitions, you know, you run in the thing. And it's a big thing. You get kind of used to it. You know, there's a cadence and a schedule to these competitions. You go to the same ones every year. You know, you go to the same places. There's a citywide competition. There's competitions all over the place. There's one in Richmond that we used to go to, which was like an overnight trip, and that was a big deal. And I remember my sophomore year, I'm like a captain. It's either my sophomore or my junior year. I'm a captain or whatever. And we're taking this overnight trip. And, you know, I got these younger cadets that are looking to me for leadership. And I don't know if it was the uniform. It could have been the uniform, because my uniform was fucking immaculate. Like, I took pride in that. You know, if you went and saw, like, my room when I was in high school, it was shit everywhere. I used to tell my mother, because she would come around to try to gather clothes to give to Goodwill and stuff. And I'd be like, man, anything in the closet, you can give away, because that means I don't wear it. If it's on the floor, don't fuck with it, because that's my, like, I just didn't hang up shit. I didn't iron. I ironed a lot, but because I didn't hang up shit. But it was just a mess. It was just a mess, except for my uniform. That was immaculate. I shined shoes for fun. They used to have, like, I don't know why we called them chloroforms, because it doesn't feel like that's what they should have been called. I think that's the shit that you, like, put people to sleep with. Whatever, we called them chloroforms, but they were, like, the patent leather shoes. I ain't bought a patent leather shoes. I bought the regular shoes, and I just shined the shit out of them, and it was beautiful. I used to shine my insignias. Everything was gleaming. You know what I'm saying? At this point, I had cords, I had medals, I had ribbons on my, like, my shit was super dope. And I don't know if it was the uniform. And of course, when you put something on like that, like, it changes your demeanor. So I walk different. I probably talk different. But I don't know if it was the uniform. I don't know if it was the attitude. I don't know if it was, you know, the little bit of rank. And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in a leadership position, or people see me in a leadership position. But I think at that point, I started to maybe gain some eyes from the females around me. And I'm naive now, and I was super naive then, so I didn't get it. I didn't know what was happening. But we was going to take this overnight trip. And the rumor that I got later, once we got back, and I still think it's cap, but this is what dudes told me was going on. I don't know. But the rumor was there was bets being made on not who I was going to hit, but how many. Like, that's what the outsiders looking in was seeing in terms of where I was in, like, this social hierarchy now in junior ROTC. I had no idea any of this shit was going on. They even told me we had a dude, Master Sergeant Jimmy Godin, love him to death. We used to be really, really close. You know, as in junior ROTC, you have cadre, like your retired military people who are there that run the program. You have usually have an officer. We had a colonel, Colonel Henderson. Then you have an enlisted man, and that was Master Sergeant Jimmy Godin. You have to say the whole thing every time. And me and him was really close, but we had a falling out. It's my fault. It's that's one of my biggest regrets, that you know, I kind of ruined my relationship with Sergeant Godin. But what I was told was that, like, this rumor of what I was possibly going to be getting into on this trip was so crazy that Sergeant Godine slept outside my hotel room the whole night to make sure there wasn't nobody coming in and out. And it was crazy. Anyway, neither here nor there. But we go into all these competitions. And the big one for me was the T.C. Williams Classic. And yeah, I'm talking about the T.C. Williams from Remember the Titans. Yeah, when I saw that movie was coming out and it was about T.C. Williams, I was like, man, you know, I was hating. Like, this is how good an actor Denzel Washington is, because I fucking hate T.C. Williams. And I was rooting for him by the time the movie was over. And so that's impressive acting, because I fucking hate T.C. Williams. Like, first of all, how do you host a competition and then you win it every fucking year? Like, if you, like, it's your school, you got the people that's, like, showing people around and shit like that. How the fuck you hosting the competition, competing in it, and winning it? What sense does it make to have a trophy case full of T.C. Williams Classic trophies? Like, that's the dumbest shit I ever. I fucking hate T.C. Williams. And they were T.C. Williams was Army. The schools I really hated was all Marine. I hated Marine. And it all comes down to how they call commands. So I don't know what you know about, like, military and shit like that. But, you know, you got to call commands in certain ways, because everything is precise. It's supposed to be, you know, command, action. Action got to take place at the same time. So it's really, you know, you set it up. Like, if you call them the left face, you're setting it up. You give them the left, you know, to let you know what command is coming. And then you give them, hey, like, and that tells you. And you do it with the H. I can't do it that well because my voice is fucked up right now. But you do it with the H, because you can snap the H. You can do that, hey, you know, you can. And it's a move. And that's how everybody do it. Left, hey, right, hey. That's how everybody do it. And you get the Marine schools, and they just got to be weird for no reason. They do all the layup. Like, what is a layup? Like, that is, I don't even, if it wasn't for the L sound, I have no idea what the fuck you said. And then they do these unnecessary pauses. So it just be like, layup, and you be waiting, just like this. Like, it just unnecessary, hey, and then out of nowhere, they give you that. Like, that's exactly how the fuck it would happen. So I hate Marine schools. I don't hate the Marines because I don't want any of that smoke. But the Marines Junior ROTC schools was always my least favorite. But T.C. Williams took the cake. So we had the T.C. Williams Classic. This is now, like, I want to say my junior year. It's got to be my junior year. I'm like a cadet major at this point, which is the second highest rank you can get in Junior ROTC. You can get to colonel. But colonel is usually like your citywide commander. In the schools, like, your highest rank is a lieutenant colonel. And our teacher didn't want to give me that because I was a little bit of an asshole. So he just held me a major, and I never made it any further, even though I was like our squadron commander. So I'm squadron commander. I'm a cadet major. You know, I walk different. I talk different. I'm, you know, these freshmen and stuff is around me, and I'm like, who the fuck told this little kid he could talk to me? Like, you know what I'm saying? It was a different time for me at that point. Like, I really feeling myself. But people treated me with a lot of respect, because I treated people with respect. Other than telling freshmen, get the fuck out of my face, I had a way of, like, making my goal your goal. Like, helping you see, like, I can get you to where you want to be, you know, by you helping me get where I want to be. And I'm going to take care of you in that process, but you got to listen to me, and you got to trust me, and you got to do what I ask you to do. And I could normally get that across. I wasn't a guy who yelled and gave out push-ups. I could just walk around and, like, quietly run shit, you know, to a certain extent. I'm not trying to hype it up too much, but it's how I felt. Anyway, so I'm at this point, and I'm at the competition. And I love being at competitions. It's like, telling people where to go, organizing who needs to be where, and performing. Like, I felt like I was at my best. Like, that was my best. And I, you know, another one of my biggest regrets is, like, nobody ever got to see me do that. Like, my mom, and, you know, my dad really wasn't around, but my mom didn't come to competitions. And, like, nobody ever really got to see me, like, in that element. Like, just, you know, being that dude for a whole day. And so, anyway, we had the T.C. Williams Classic. And, you know we're not going to win because it's T.C. Williams Classic. T.C. Williams wins. But we like competing. We not, you know, it's not even about, like, winning. It's about, like, being a group, hanging out together, having fun, doing what we do, and feeling good about what we did. And so for everything to come full circle. We there, and it comes down to it's time for exhibition drill. And, you know, I think Armed Exhibition does their thing. I'm on that team. You know, good time. That's the highlight of my day. That's what it built up for. I knocked that out. And for whatever reason this year, Unarmed Exhibition competed after that. And so we get time for Unarmed Exhibition, and they're short. They're short. We short like two cadets. And so, you know, when I was a freshman, like that was something you just grabbed a little, you know, nobody was like, hey, yo, come here, go stand over there, you know, at parade rest. And so we can have enough to go on the floor. But this year, I don't know if we was just feeling ourselves or we just having fun. So me and another officer, I think Ty, White Trash. So I forgot to tell story about the nickname. So I got the nickname on the exhibition drill team. And that's where they started calling me Flan. It started with, it was a kid we called Biggie. I think we called him Biggie because his clothes was always too big. He was real thin, but we called him Biggie because his clothes was always baggy and too big. And Biggie, for whatever reason, like just liked fucking with my last name. And it was like Flanagan. Then it was like Flan again. Then it was like Flan once more, which is actually my Twitter handle, like Flan once more. So Biggie, your shit lives on. I don't know what happened to you, dude, but the name lives on. So yeah, we went from Flan to Flan again to Flan once more, and then eventually just got shortened to Flan, and that's what everybody called me. But everybody else had like a nickname. So it was like White Trash, just light-skinned dude, Snotty Pippin, Lover Lips, Nose. Man, I can't even think of everybody's name. The only other person that didn't have a nickname, whose nickname was just his name, was because his name was just so dope. It's like, why would you even fuck with it? His name was Johnny Stone. Like, it just sound like a movie star or a Mortal Kombat character, something. It was like Johnny Stone. Like, just like, why would you even give that kid a nickname? His name is Johnny Stone. Like, fuck out of here. Like, shout out to Johnny Stone. I still see you on Facebook. But yeah, that's where the nickname came from. So White Trash hits me up. He's like a second lieutenant, first lieutenant, something like that. I'm like a major. I'm saying it because we were like a big deal. But, you know, he hits me and he's like, oh, let's go fill in for the team. So we're like, all right, whatever. Like, we just having fun now. Like, this is not something we would normally do or we normally have to do. It's just like, fuck it, why not? Like, we're going to go out. We're going to march out there with him. At a certain point, we're going to walk over to the boundary. We're going to hit parade rest. And I don't know if you know what parade rest look like without a rifle, but it's damn near cool. You got the... It looked like, almost like a jail pose. Like, you got the hands in front of you, whatever. Like, you know. And with the hats and the uniforms gleaming the way they was gleaming, we was looking good. So, we sitting over there at parade rest. We chilling. And this is where it becomes, like, the coolest moment of my life so far. So, we sitting there and we chilling. And the team is doing their routine. Like, so... Everything should be about them right now. They out there performing. They doing a routine. We supposed to just hang out on the boundary so we count as two extra people and not do shit. But that's, we weren't capable of not doing shit. So at some point, and shouts to Ty, White Trash, he don't even look at me. He just says, Flan, catch the ripple. And starts, if you don't know what a ripple is, you know, it's like one person does, you're in the line, one person does something, next person does something, and you try to, like, you know, you mirror the movements. You keep the movements going down the line. It's only two of us, so this is, like, the weakest ripple of all time. It's a two-man ripple. But he's just, like, Flan, catch the ripple. And he just starts doing shit. And I just, like, peripheral vision. I can't look at him because that'd be breaking military bearing. You know, and we just, and then he turns and he starts marching. So I start marching behind him. So now we pretty much like voguing and shit and marching around the boundary of the drill area while our team is performing in the middle. It's no longer about them no more. It's these two fools that's marching around. And we making it sharp. Like, we making it sharp. Like, the hands was sharp. I had the little, you know, everything was pointed. The movements was vicious. They was crisp. But we freestyling. We don't know what the fuck we doing. We just having fun. I think at one point we hit the Weekend in Bernie's, which was like our calling card. We actually got disqualified from a competition for doing the Weekend in Bernie's, but it's just too much fun. It's like And that's what I loved about Junior ROTC. Like, we was so us that we really didn't care about, like, winning or losing. Like, we won, you know, a lot. Like, we were successful at what we did because we were very good at it. But there would be times where it was just like, this is for us. This ain't for you. We're not performing for you. We're not performing for no points. We're performing for the rest of the squad that's in the stands watching us. They know we vicious. They know we spending these 16-pound rifles. And everybody you seen come up here before us was spending that little boss of wood bullshit. You know, they know what we do. And we was doing it for us. It was the closest thing to being a gang I probably ever been in my life. There's no, like, violence and shit like that. We was just... You know what I'm saying? We was just mobbed up. And it was about us. We had our nicknames, whatever. And in that moment, like, this was for us. Like, just we having fun. Who gives? Like, we know our colonel is on the sideline probably having an aneurysm or some shit because he's pissed that we doing this. But it wasn't for him. It was for everybody else. It was for us. And we having the time of our lives. And that's probably the freest I ever been. Like, really not caring about what anybody else thought in that moment. Like I'm really a person that to this day, like, I'm very aware of where I am in relation to other people and very aware of how I could be possibly being perceived. You know, there have been times in my life where I counted my steps. Like, I'm that kind of a person. Like, I'm very, OCD about just, like, how I look in the moment. And in that moment, it's like, who cares? Ties his head. And for him to trust me like that, because if he says, catch this ripple, and I say, fuck you, like, I ain't doing that. That's not what we came out here to do. And he goes off on his own, like, he looks like an ass. But if he says, catch this ripple, and he know Flam about to catch the ripple, and we going to do this together, you know, it turned into something. And I was like, you know, it sounds lame saying it now, but that was probably, like, the coolest moment in my life, where I just didn't give a fuck, and I just went with my homie, and we did our thing. And I think, you know, the people that appreciated it, the people that didn't, you know, I still remember it to this day. And so, yeah, shouts to White Trash, but am I gonna get in trouble? Man, that was his nickname. What the fuck we called him? Why do I care? Man, that was fucking high school for me. It didn't end well. You know, I got to a point where my academics and my grades were so bad that they couldn't keep me in the position I was. I couldn't maintain being the squadron commander. I went from, like, a cadet major to, like, a master sergeant by my senior year. And at that point, like, there was no way I was showing up anywhere with master sergeant on my uniform. It was like, man, fuck that. I'm out. I'm done. And I think that's what caused the rift between master sergeant Jimmy Godine and I. But other than that, man, it was a tough high school. I don't know if high school beats junior high. I still feel like I peaked in junior high, but high school was an all right time. It was an all right time. One day I'll tell you the story about the time my ROTC dudes was about to beat up my father. That's probably just as good a one. But now I'm feeling super congested, so we got to get the fuck out of here. Anyways, usual calls to action. It is hoodie season. Finally, hoodie season. Even though Texas can't figure out if it wants to maintain hoodie season on a daily basis, but I'm sure it is where you are. So go ahead and hit up the merch store. What is TWS.com/store. Get all your outerwear, long sleeve shirts, hats, hoodies. I got it all. Hit them up. Coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN. We get you 20% off your entire order. So go check it out. Get you a discount. You get decked out in your What is TWS gear. I'm going to get back to, you know, consistency, so you can expect episodes from me every week. Hopefully I didn't just ramble on about some shit you don't care about. But if you made it this far, you the real MVP, and I appreciate it. But anyway, as always, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, the coolest thing you can ever do is not give a fuck if anybody thinks you're cool. And I love you. Holla. Oh, no. I'm such a so out of practice. I love you. How?
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest. You finest bar establishment, finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.